Good morning. If you have your Bible with you this morning, will you take it out, please, and go over into the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to start reading with you from verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse is number 3. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." Brothers and sisters, life can be tough. Life can be difficult. Life can be hard, even for Christians. Would you agree with that? Would you agree that life can be tough, that life can be difficult even for Christians? I'm pretty sure that everybody in this room will agree with that. In fact, in a crowd of this size, I'm pretty sure that there are some people here in this room who are facing some difficult moments in their lives. Even though as Christians, when we come to this place, we do our best to put on a smile and shake each other's hands and encourage each other, the fact of the matter is that while doing those things, some of us still may be hurting. Some of us still may be struggling with something. Some of us still may be dealing with some trials and tribulations in our lives. For example, for some of you here this morning, maybe you're still struggling with the grief that comes with losing somebody you love to death. Maybe as you sit there in the pew this morning, you're hurting inside because you recently lost your spouse, or you lost a child or a grandchild, or you lost a parent or a brother or a sister. But maybe there's somebody here this morning who has some serious concerns over your health. Maybe you're tired of not knowing what the next day is going to bring. Maybe you're tired of waking up every morning and you got aches and pains in your body. You got problems with your back and problems with your knees, and you're dealing with heart problems and diabetes or even cancer. Maybe there's somebody here who is hurting because you recently had a child that left the Lord. Maybe you got a prodigal. Maybe you got a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Maybe you stay up late at night praying to God about your prodigal. Maybe you beat yourself up every single day. Maybe you find yourself saying things like, "Well, if I did this better, or if I did that better, then my child will still be faithful to God." Or maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're just fretting over something happening to you on your job, or maybe at school. Maybe there's a young person that's here that has a bully at school that's constantly giving you a hard time. Maybe there's somebody here and you got a boss that's treating you unfairly. Maybe you are somebody who on your job, you're surrounded by a bunch of people who curse and laugh at filthy jokes, and they make fun of you and mock you because they know you're different. Look, there are a lot of examples I could give you this morning when it comes to this, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, I don't care who we are this morning. I don't care how old or young we may be or where we come from in life. We all got problems. We all got difficulties. We all have things that bring hardships into our lives. And I guess the question is, when we find ourselves going through hardships, when we find ourselves going through trials and tribulations in life, what has God given to help us? Well, what has God given to comfort us in our times of sorrow and pain and woe? I mean, has God given us anything? Has God given us anything to help us get through the tough times in this life? Well, this morning I want to submit to you that God has given us some very specific things. Believe it or not, my friends, but God has given us some things to comfort us and help us get through this life. In fact, in this lesson, I want to share with you three things, three reasons why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3 refers to God as the God of all comfort. First, one of the things that God gives his people in their times of needing comfort is, number one, God gives his people. The Bible teaches that God actually comforts his people through his people. Would you agree with that this morning? Let me ask you a question. You ever found yourself struggling with in your life? You're going through a tough time and your brothers and sisters in Christ came to your aid. You ever had that happen to you before? But for example, maybe you were sick in the hospital or you had a sick child in the hospital and members of your spiritual family were right there by your side. But maybe members of your spiritual family sat with your family while you had a surgery. Maybe they sat with them in the weight room. Maybe they came before your surgery or after your surgery to pray with you. Maybe they just wrote you a card to let you know that they loved you and they were thinking about you. Maybe you recently buried a loved one and your brethren made meals for you. And they came to the visitation and they came to the funeral to show support for you and your family. Maybe there was a time when you came forward to confess some sin in your life. And you were just, after you did that, you were so embarrassed. I mean, you just had so much shame when you did that. But to your surprise, after you did that, your brothers and sisters, they lined up right here and they came down and they gave you a big hug and they encouraged you and they told you, hey, everything's okay. I appreciate your humility. You ever had times when your brothers and sisters did stuff like that? Well, if you have, my friends, I want you to know something. I want you to know that during those times, God was working in your life. During those times, God was actually comforting you. God was actually comforting you through his people. You see, when our brethren do that kind of stuff for us, we got to understand that that's one of God's ways of comforting us. In fact, beyond using our brethren to encourage us with cards and visits and words of encouragement, another way that God can use our brethren is through their sufferings. He can use our brethren through their sufferings. I mean, that's exactly the point the Apostle Paul is making right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When you go back and look at that text in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul says that when it comes to the sufferings we face in our lives, sometimes God can use those experiences to help other members of the spiritual family. Another way we can say that is sometimes God can use our suffering to help other people who also may be suffering. I mean, that's one of the great blessings that comes with being part of a spiritual family. For example, maybe there's somebody here and you're currently grieving over the loss of a child, or maybe you had a child that wandered away from the Lord and that keeps you up late at night. If there's somebody here like that, I want you to know something. I want you to know that I cannot relate to you when it comes to that. I cannot relate to you when it comes to having a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. You know why? Because my children are still very small. They're not old enough to be able to make that kind of decision yet. I can't honestly say that I can relate to folks here in this room who may be going through that, but I want you to know something. I want you to know there are people in this room who can relate to you on that. I want you to know that there are people in this room who understand exactly what you're going through. They know exactly the pain and agony that comes with that, because guess what? They're going through it themselves. They're going through that pain and agony right now in their lives, and God can use them to comfort you. God can use them to encourage you and help you get through that. That's the point the Apostle Paul is making in 2 Corinthians 1. The rich point the Apostle is making is, if we allow him to, God can actually use our sufferings for good in the future. God can actually use our sufferings to help other people. God can actually use our sufferings to relate to other people who may be going through the same thing. Our God is so amazing that he can actually use our suffering to accomplish good. But let me tell you something. In order for that to work properly, we got to do at least two things, okay? First, for those of us who have gone through rough periods of suffering, we have to humble ourselves and we have to allow God to use us. We have to humble ourselves and allow God to use us. In other words, when we learn of brethren in this place who are going through trials and tribulations that we've also faced, we got to make ourselves available to those people. We got to take the initiative to go to those people. We got to go to those people and let them know that we know exactly what they're going through and we can help them. We can help them get through this rough moment. And so if we've gone through trials in our lives, we got to open ourselves up. And we got to go to the people who are going through similar trials and let them know that we can help them. But in addition to that, not only do we must be ready to comfort other people, you know what else we got to do? We also got to be ready to receive comfort from other people. We got to be ready to give comfort. And we got to be ready to receive comfort. And let's just be honest about it this morning. Doing that second part is a lot easier said than done, right? Let's just be honest about it. When it comes to having problems in our lives, the easier thing to do is to isolate ourselves from other people, right? The easier thing to do is to keep to ourselves. We don't want people in our business. We don't want people to know what we're going through. We feel we can get through this problem all by ourselves. Isn't it easy to think that way? There have been times in my life when I've been guilty of thinking like that, but I want to be honest with you about something. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what God wants for his family. You see, whenever we start facing hardships in our lives, God doesn't want us to keep to ourselves. God doesn't want us to shut our brethren out. God doesn't want us to refuse to let other people in our lives. Instead, God wants us to be a family. God wants us to allow our brethren to comfort us and help us. Isn't that what Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 2? What does Paul say there? He says we are to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? Paul says, I got a responsibility to bear your burdens. And you got a responsibility to help bear my burdens. But for that to actually happen, both of us, we got to do our part. For me to bear your burdens, I got to first know what your burdens are. You got to first come to me and you got to tell me those things so I can pray for you and encourage you. And likewise, I got to do the same thing. I got to be willing to let you know about what's going on in my life because maybe you can relate to me and maybe you can help me get through that. Does that make sense? You see, when we don't do these kinds of things, when we don't allow our brethren to comfort us and help us get through rough times, you know what we're actually doing? We're actually robbing ourselves of one of the great tools God has given us to help us get through this life. The Bible says that one of the ways that God comforts his people is through his people. He comforts us through our brothers and our sisters in Christ, but not only does God comfort his people through his people, a second way that God comforts his people is through his promises. He comforts his people through his people and also through his promises. I mean, that is exactly what we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Will you please go in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? I want to show you something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. Here in the context, if you remember, the Apostle Paul is writing to some brethren who were worried about those saints who had already died in the Lord and the Lord had not yet come back. They wanted to know what was going to happen to those people. They were worried about those brethren who had already gone on to the next life. And so listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 13. Here Paul says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as to the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Notice, this is coming by inspiration of God. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore what? Therefore comfort one another with these words. You know, so often when we read these verses, we reserve them just to be read at funerals, right? Usually we only read these verses at a funeral of a saint, but I want to emphasize that these verses are so much more valuable beyond the funeral home. Notice how Paul says that while these disciples were worried about those saints who had already died in the Lord, he told them they needed to comfort themselves with the promises of God. He said they needed to remember what God has promised. God has promised that one day the Lord is going to return. One day the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. And when that happens, the dead are going to be raised up and the saved, they're going to meet the Lord in the air and they're going to go back to heaven to live with him forever. Paul says that God has promised that these things are going to happen. And as the people of God, we need to take comfort in that. We need to take comfort in the promises that God has made concerning the resurrection. That's what Paul told these brethren. But let me ask you this now. What about us today? What about us living in 2019 and the problems we face in our lives? Because we all got different problems. Has God made us any promises to comfort us while we go through our problems? He absolutely has. And let me show you some examples, okay? I want to show you Matthew 18, 20. You remember this one? Remember Jesus says, before he went to heaven to be with his Father, he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Notice how Jesus says, that doesn't matter where I'm at on this planet. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter how old or young I may be. He's always by my side. He's always with me. He's always watching over me. Jesus says, I will never leave my people. That's a promise from the Lord. I'm also reminded of Psalm 119 in verse 105, where the psalmist says that the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Notice how when I feel like I'm stumbling around in the darkness, and I do a lot of times in my life, when I feel like I don't know where to go, when I feel like I need direction, I need to know what the Lord wants me to do, when I start feeling that way in my life, God promises that if I just open up his word and study it, it'll lead me where he wants me to go. It'll give me light. It'll give me peace. It'll give me the kind of direction that I need as a Christian. I'm also reminded of this promise, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Where Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man, and God is faithful. Notice that. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so you will be able to endure it. What is Paul saying here? Well, here Paul is saying that God will always help us defeat the devil. It doesn't matter what temptation he throws our way. It doesn't matter what stumbling block he tries to put in our lives. Paul says that God will always help us find a way out of it. There's nothing that the devil can throw at us that God has not equipped us for. God will always give us a way of escape. That's a promise. And then one more. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 15. Where the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. I love this one. Notice how when I feel like nobody will listen to what I have to say, when I feel like I'm alone, when I feel like I need somebody to hear my pain and my sorrow, the Bible promises that God will always hear me. God will always watch over me. God will always listen to my cries. It doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter where I'm at on this planet. My God will always listen to the prayers of his children. Now, these are four of so many other promises I could show you that's in the Bible for us as Christians. But here's my point. My point is, God has made us some very special promises. And these promises are designed to comfort us. These promises are designed to help us keep going on. These promises are designed to build us up in our faith and keep us strong as we travel through this life. The Bible teaches that God comforts his people through his people. And he comforts his people through his promises. But then the third and final way that I want to show you that God comforts his people is third and finally, I want to say that God also comforts his people through his providence. Through his people, through his promises, and also through his providence. Someone says, oh, wait a minute, Sean, that's a big word right there. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean when you use this word providence? What is the providence of God? Well, as we start talking about this for just a few minutes, let me first point this out, okay? Let me first point out that in the scriptures, in the Bible, we can read about God really working in the lives of his people in two specific ways. One way that God works in the lives of his people is through miracles, right? Remember, Brother Russ talked with us about that. Miracles, supernatural acts, things that supersede the laws of nature. We read about that through the scriptures. Remember, Jesus did that while he was on this earth. In Matthew chapter 8, all the way through Matthew 10, you find an explosion of miracles. You find Jesus doing all kinds of things, giving sight to the blind, healing lepers, walking on water, casting demons out of people, even raising the dead. I mean, just do a casual reading of the four Gospels and you'll find Jesus doing all kinds of things that superseded the laws of nature. God certainly worked in the lives of people through miracles, but not only did he work in the lives of people through miracles, a second way he works in the lives of people is through providence. Providence. Someone says again, what's providence? Well, unlike miracles, where you have supernatural acts being done, providence is very different. Providence is not when God is working in a supernatural way. Instead, it's when God is working through a natural way. It is when God is doing things behind the scenes in a natural way to bring about good in the lives of his people. I like the way one preacher I know put it. One preacher put it this way. Miracles are what God does in front of the curtain. Providence, what God does behind the curtain. Miracles are what God does in front of the curtain. Providence, when God's working behind the curtain, it is when God is doing things that we may be unaware of in our lives. A great example of this is Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? He's probably the best example in the Bible we have of God working through providence. Remember, Joseph, God allowed Joseph, he allowed Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. And after they sold him into slavery, he eventually wound up working for a man named Potiphar. And then eventually Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph. Joseph got put in jail where he was there for a time. And then because he was able to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, eventually he was able to rise up in power in Egypt. Remember, he rose up to second only to the Pharaoh. In fact, not only did he rise up to second in Egypt, but if you remember, when he got to that position, God was unable to use him to bring about his real plan, which was to use Joseph to bring Jacob and his sons and grandchildren into the land of Egypt so they could survive a famine and so they could be preserved and eventually become the great nation of Israel that would bring Jesus into the world. You see, all of that was the providence of God. God was working in the life of Joseph through natural means mostly to put him in a position to preserve his family. And I know that's true. I'm not guessing about this, because if you read Genesis 39, the Bible says at least five times there that the Lord was with Joseph the whole time. And I also want you to notice what Joseph himself said in Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis 50, I want to show you a verse here in verse 20. If you remember here, this is after Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, after he died, the brothers of Joseph were afraid. They thought Joseph was going to get revenge on them, because daddy's gone now, and he may get revenge on us. Now, he may kill us because we sold him into slavery. They're scared. And so in Genesis 15, verse 20, Joseph is pretty much telling them, don't be afraid. I'm not going to do anything bad to you. God put me here. And look at what he says. He says, as for you, talking to his brothers, you meant evil against me. You meant to do me wrong. But God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Listen to what Joseph says. Joseph understood, didn't he? Joseph understood when he thought back on his life that God was working the whole time. God had worked through his whole life to get him to Egypt so he could preserve his family. That's providence, brothers and sisters. This is an example of the providence of God, and it's not the only example we have. Esther is a great example of the providence of God. God put her in that position to preserve the Jews. You go and read about Hezekiah and how Hezekiah was going to die. And God used medicine, natural means, to extend his life for 15 years. You go read about Cyrus, King Cyrus of Persia, and how God used providence to raise up Cyrus so he could deliver the Jews from captivity. And you go read about the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and you notice how on so many instances, God providentially protected Paul from people who were trying to kill him. The providence of God is all over the Bible. And I want you to hear me on this. Just like God used providence in the lives of his people in the Bible times, guess what? He's still doing it today. While the times of miracles has certainly ceased, according to 1 Corinthians 13, while that's done, that doesn't mean God's still not working. That doesn't mean that God's still not watching over his people. That doesn't mean that God is still not doing things behind the scenes to bring about good in our lives. Let me tell you something. God continues to use medicine to heal and extend the lives of his people. That's why we pray. God continues to bring people into our lives that he wants to help us and make us better people. God continues to allow rulers of nations to rise and fall as he pleases. God continues to work through providence, and while it's hard to prove it, and it's hard to pinpoint it out exactly, that still doesn't mean it's not happening. It's still happening, brothers and sisters, and it is one of the avenues or the tools God has given us to comfort us. God comforts his people. He comforts his people through his people. He comforts his people through his promises, and he comforts his people through his providence. I hope these things will encourage you if you're going through some tough times in your life right now. These are things that come from the scripture. In fact, maybe there's somebody here this morning, and maybe you need what we're talking about. Maybe you need some comfort. Do you need comfort? Maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you need some people to hug you and lift you up because you're going through some tough times. If so, it would be our pleasure to do that as your spiritual family. If you need prayers, if you need encouragement, or if you need to respond to the gospel for the first time through faith, repentance, and baptism, whatever spiritual needs you may have, we want to help you with that, and we will right now. Let's stand. Let's sing together.